This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. This sermon will be more on why the world will fight Christ. Most people don't understand it, but they're fighting him right now, even those who think that they are with him. Now, before we get into this, and we'll draw some comparables between the book of Exodus, just a little review on that, but let's look at 14 major things that are outlined in the Bible, which are epic, earth-shaking occurrences, which you might say are, they'd be more than milestones, because they don't happen at regular milestones, but epic things that are in the Bible. Number one, creation. And it would be nice if someone somewhere would stop all scientists who begin with the Big Bang and say, no, begin with nothing. Tell us where it came from before the Big Bang. Number two, Satan's fall. Number three, recreation of the earth and man. Number four, the flood. Number five, little notice, but nevertheless, all the plan of God flows from this one point, and that is God's covenant with Abraham. Number five. Number six, the Exodus. All the events leading up to it, so forth. Number seven, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you want to abbreviate that, put that as Jesus' first coming. Next major event, Jesus' second coming. Then, the first resurrection. Number 10, the millennium. Number 11, Satan's final judgment. Number 12, the second resurrection. Number 13, second death in the lake of fire. Number 14, New Jerusalem and eternity. Go over those again. One, creation. Two, Satan's fall. Three, recreation of the world and man. Four, the flood. Five, calling of Abraham. Six, the Exodus and all the events leading up to it. Seven, the first coming of Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. Eight, Jesus' second coming. Nine, the first resurrection. Ten, the millennium. 11, Satan's final judgment. That's interesting because 11 is judgment. 12, the second resurrection. 13, second death. 14, New Jerusalem. So there are major things that take place. In the meantime, in between that, you have history with its rises and falls and wars and rumors of wars and all of these things, but these are major events that are outlined by the Bible, either historical or prophetic. So let's talk about, add a little bit more on to the question, why will the world fight against Christ? Because that's his second return. Let's expand upon this a little bit more here. Let's come, first of all, to Revelation 13, and let's finish what we didn't have time to do on the Day of Trumpets. Let's talk about the mark of the beast, because that has an awful lot to do with why the whole world will fight against Christ. Now, remember, we already covered about the beast and the false prophet to a certain extent. But Revelation 13 and the mark of the beast. Now, there's a lot of information out there to verify what we've said for years and years, which is this. The mark of the beast is not just a buying and selling thing. It is a control. And such control that they have never been able to have in the history of the human race. And all of this scientific research that they're doing, chip implantations into the brain, even cloning of human beings, genetic manipulation to add in animal genes into human beings, which we have discussed in the past before. All of these things are Satan's inspired efforts to make men more godlike from Satan's point of view, so that they will feel empowered to fight against Christ when he returns. And for Satan's control. It's all for control. And those who receive the mark of the beast give up free choice. And it will get down to this as far as true Christians are concerned. You choose God above anything else, regardless of staring death in the face. Now let's see an example that is here back in the book of Daniel chapter 3. Then we'll come back to Revelation 13. And this is given so that we will understand this is sort of a prophetic event that took place here in Daniel the 3rd chapter. Because Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold of this whole system. Remember that? So Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the coming final beast. And here we will see some similarities between Daniel 3 and Revelation 13. Now, granted, they didn't have the mark of the beast here. But notice what happened. Daniel 3 and verse 1, and Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was three score cubits. So that 60 cubits means 90 feet high. Its breadth thereof was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And everyone was to bow down to it. All the princes, all the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces, and all of the little men. Now, we'll see that is a parallel in Revelation 13, where everyone receives the mark of the beast, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond. That's just another way of saying what I just read here in Daniel 3rd chapter. Now, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did not bow down to worship, so they were given a chance. Hauled up before Nebuchadnezzar and said, "All right, everyone has bowed down and worshiped this image, but you. So we'll give you a chance. When you hear the music, you bow down and worship, and you will live." Now, in the future, all Christians are going to be confronted with that very same thing concerning the mark of the beast. So we have to prepare and ask the question ahead of time, do I give up on all eternity and God to live a little longer in the flesh? Or do I follow God under all circumstances regardless of the consequence? Now, I dare say none of us have been confronted with that yet, but we could very well be confronted with it down the road. Matter of fact, the prophecies which we know are true, we're going to be confronted with it. No doubt about it. Now, when they were confronted with this, and they were told, "When you are ready, you bow down and worship." And Nebuchadnezzar affronted God by saying this. Verse 15, the last part of it. "And who is that God that will deliver you out of my hands?" So here's their answer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful," or that is, "we're not going to sit here and think this over to answer you concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." Now let's stop and think about this fiery furnace for just a minute here. Where was Babylon? In Iraq. That had oil gushing up out of the ground, too, in certain places. And they also probably had natural gas vents. And there's even indication of it in the book, The Two Babylons, because of the fiery serpent, the god, the fiery serpent who had fire coming out of his mouth continually. That what they did, they made a fiery serpent and put it over a gas hole and let the gas come out of its mouth and then light it. Now, if you were just uneducated and knew nothing, you would think, "Ooh, look at that God." See? So this is probably what it was. And it says they made it hotter. Well, how could you make a gas fire even hotter? By throwing on some of your hard petroleum tar and heat that thing up. Now, verse 18. So they knew what they were facing. But if not, now you see the resolve. Now, I've given sermons on spiritual resolve. What is your spiritual resolve? See, now here's their spiritual resolve. And also know this, that in time of trouble, we're also promised that God will help us in time of need, correct? Yes. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, keeping the first commandment, nor worship the golden image which you have set up, the second commandment. And we are going to see in Revelation 13 that the whole world's going to be confronted with the same proposition. Will they worship Satan the devil and his gods and his images? Or will they worship the true God and so give their life for it? Now, and let's read on here. So Nebuchadnezzar, He is full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was known to be heated. And so you know the rest of the story. They finally got it up to the exceedingly hot temperature, and men were commanded to throw them down into it. So that's why it was probably one of those pits with natural gas coming out and petroleum in it, and they threw the hard tar down in there and made it hotter and hotter and hotter. So they cast them in it, and the men who cast them into it were killed because it was so hot. Now, another visual picture that you can have concerning that is this, so you can have a mental picture of what it's like. Have you ever seen a furnace that is melting steel or iron and how hot it is? Another mental picture is not quite as severe as this mental picture, but this mental picture will bring to mind the lake of fire, a volcanic lake of lava. See, now they weren't thrown into that. It wasn't quite that hot. So they threw them in, and the king looked in there, verse 24, and he was astonished. And he stood up and looked. And he said to his counselor, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They said, "True, king." So he answered, verse 25, and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have not been hurt, and the form of the 4th one is like the Son of God." Now that must have been an astonishing thing for Nebuchadnezzar. So the king walked up to the mouth of the fiery furnace and spoke. He probably yelled and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High, you know, quick on the spot change of mind, right? Come here, come forth, come here." Then they came out from the midst of the fire, and they were astonished that they weren't singed. Their clothes didn't have any smell of smoke or anything at all like that. And so what happened with that? That was quite a thing. Verse 28, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." And then they got a big promotion. Nebuchadnezzar probably said to himself, "Boy, let's put these guys in charge." So... So they were promoted. Now later, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den when he was an old man, and the lions didn't eat him up. But nevertheless, let's come back here to Revelation 13, and let's look at some of the similarities here. Because these days are going to come. Now, almost all commentaries trying to explain what the mark of the beast would be are wrong. Why are they wrong? Did they intend to be wrong? No. They intended to figure it out the best way that they could. But the reason that they are wrong is very simple. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, even 50 years ago, no one could possibly imagine the technology that we have today that would make the mark of the beast work, like it says here. And so we're able to understand it, not because we're smarter than those back then, but simply because we're living in a time when we can observe how it's going to be done. And all of the economic numbering systems leading up to the actual mark of the beast being in your right hand or in your forehead are not the mark of the beast, but they are all steps leading up to it. So when they start to implement it, that's when we say no. That is going to cause dire consequences to us, to our families, and our loved ones. That's why we have to count the cost now. So let's read it here. Verse 11, after we talked about the first beast there on trumpets. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Easiest way to understand that is to listen to any message of the Pope. He sounds Christian in some ways, other ways he doesn't. But the message is not from God, but Satan the devil, because we know the dragon is Satan. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him. And what did the first beast have? Go back to verse 7. First beast, he was given power to make war against the saints, to overcome them, and he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. So here's going to come a great false prophet, a great religious leader, who's going to have authority over all religions. So there are a lot of things yet to happen on a mammoth scale for these things to take place. Now back to verse 12, and he causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed, and like we covered on trumpets. The man is proclaimed to be God in the flesh. So that's why Christ is going to be the invader from outer space who is the alien, because they're given over to the delusion to believe that the first beast of Revelation 13 is God and proclaims himself to be God. Verse 13, and he performs wonders so that he even causes fire to come down to earth from heaven in the sight of men. And Jesus said, as we know, that there will be signs and wonders and false prophets and false Christs. So Satan is going to come with every diversionary tactic to come against all mankind and come against true Christians as well, to divert them from serving and loving God. Now verse 14, when this happens, it's going to be like a literal mass conversion of the world. Unheard of. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast. So they have to go around together. That's why when we covered about the two witnesses, it's going to be the two witnesses and a head-to-head confrontation with the beast and the false prophet. Just like Aaron and Moses against Pharaoh and the magicians in Egypt. Now here's what they are to do. Saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast. See, because if it were the true Christ, you would not what? Make any image, correct? Because you see, the second commandment starts out, you shall not make unto yourselves. So if you happen to get in a conversation with a Catholic or a Buddhist or someone that says, well, you know, we don't worship them, we just venerate them. Just remind them, God says, don't make. So what are they doing there? Make an image for the beast. Now, it's not of the beast, but for the beast. And the image that always goes with Satan the devil is what? the image of the goddess, be it Cybele or Diana or Athena or the Catholic Mary. Make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could both speak. Now, in this modern technological age, this is going to be proved to be absolutely supernatural. Because why? Everyone is going to be looking for technological things which can counterfeit this. Right? Now, there's a new doll coming out of Japan, and it's a robot conversational doll that you program to talk with you. So if you live alone, you no longer have to be alone. You can converse with a robot. So everyone with this kind of technology we have today, they're going to say, we've got to find out if this is technologically done or not. So they will know it's not. And he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Sound like Daniel 3, doesn't it? That's how the martyrdom is going to be. And they'll come along and say, think of your family. Think of your children. Don't you love them? Don't you want them to have food? Don't you want them to have clothes? Why would God be against you showing a little veneration to this image here? See, because it's not to the image, you're worshiping Satan. That's what it is, you see. Then verse 16, and he, now this refers back, this can refer back to the first beast, it can also refer to the second beast, but since they do the things together jointly, it's easy to understand why it will be the governmental people to do this, not the religious people. The religious people will say, well, it's good, it's all right, just a matter of identification. And after all, living in this lawless world, and we're needing control. This is how we're going to have peace, we're going to have control, we're going to be able to run the economy, we're going to make sure that no one cheats the government of taxes, we're going to make sure that everyone gets what is due to them. And we will no longer have any illegal aliens. Everyone in the world is going to be identified, and we will know who and where everyone is because we can track them. And how many people would say, ooh, that's great. I remember one time about 10 years ago, we went into what is now Costco, and at that time it was called the Price Club, and they had this guy standing there, you know, checking all the cards as you go in. So I just said to him, I said, don't you think it'd make your job a whole lot easier if you just had a little scanner here and everyone had something in their right hand in order to get in, they just have to go boop? He said, boy, that would really be good. I about fell over. But you see how people today are so psychologized to do that. And after all, they want to become greater and smarter and better. And this is what, you know, all of these things are going to offer to the people, as well as buying and selling and making peace and making everyone lawful and making everyone obedient. What a perfect world we can form with this. Why would you be against this? As I mentioned, the ads that are on television are programming people for this, you see. So he causes all, the small, the great. Remember Daniel 3, the rich and the poor and the free and the bond to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. Now, what's the difference between the right hand or the forehead? Now, I have my cowbell out here somewhere. So I'll just ring it once for all the things that I'm going to say. Let's think on this. This is what I think the difference is. In the forehead are all the governmental officials from the lowest to the highest. In the right hand is everybody else. And the reason that the government officials will need it is so that they can be controlled first to make sure all the policies of this coming world government are implemented and everybody is doing the will of Satan the devil. You also have this. Forehead is your mind and your thoughts, and in your right hand are your actions. Yes. Well, the chips, if you don't believe what they're going to do, do a lot of study. Go online. There are a lot of things showing, and they're also talking about chip implants into the brain today. And with that, then, they can give super comprehension. They can take soldiers and make them into, what was the movie, The Universal Soldier, was that the one? Where they can control them and all they have to do is just a flashback and instantly they have recall on all of their training and all of their weaponry and they can see better, they can hear better, they can run better, and so forth. And also they are making now military equipment that they are developing with nanotechnology where they can have bulletproof clothing that they can wear that is no thinner than a t-shirt. And they have shoes that have super rubber on them that they can run up on the walls. That sounds a little bit like Joel 2, run in the walls, leap through the window, go straight on their way, and they are not hurt, and they don't die, and they keep going. We're going to see a little later that also demons are going to come and possess them too, and give them great superhuman strength. And that is also going to add to their conviction that they can fight against God and win. Because Satan and the demons still think they can win against God. Another thought was brought up, which is true, which everyone will be ecstatic over. Control criminals, control sex perverts and predators and things like this, you see. So it's going to be the perfect solution to human problems. All of them. It isn't. Christ is the perfect solution. Okay. Comment was made, which is true. They've been using the chip for a long time to implant in animals. All cattle in America are mandated to have them. Mandated. Other commercial animals will too. And more people are having them put in their dogs and their cats because, after all, you don't want to lose your dog, don't want to lose your cat, do you? And let's put it into Alzheimer's patients, huh? So that if they get lost, we'll know where they are. And you won't have to worry. See, all of those things, see, all of the problems that Satan has created because of sin, now he adds a greater sin to it as a solution to all the sins that he has previously caused. Now it says here, so that no one may have the ability, verse 17, to buy or sell unless he has the mark. Or the number, now, or in the Greek here can mean added on to. You have the mark and the number of the beast and the number of his name, because you've got to have an official mark. It's not one of the three, but all three combined into one. It's kind of like a telephone number. You have what? Country code, area code, city code, your phone code. You can't have just one or the other, but you must have all of them in order to call the person that you want to call. Now, here is wisdom. Let the one who has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is man's number, and his number is 666. Well, they've been able to apply this to many despots and dictators in the past, and if it does fit, but you can't make it stretch. For example, they took Reagan's name and said it's 666, and Ronald Reagan was the beast. No, he was not the beast. Now, it has to add up in Greek, 666. Now, someone sent me a paper on the number 666, and Robert Martin is reviewing it for me because I don't have time now, but he says there's a lot of great material in there. It was put together by the Seventh-day Adventists, and they've done a lot on the mark of the beast, so he says it's really good information, so I'll try and bring a sermon on it in the near future. But one of the problems with Seventh-day Adventist interpretations of Revelation 13 is they count the first beast and the second beast as one, the Catholic Church, which is a mistake, because it's the religious system and the emperor. And the Catholic Church could not be what it is today without all the emperors that they control down through time. Now, the mark of the beast will be the perfect thought police control. There's even a movie out called Minority Report, which showed that which was all set up in a scenario, but is, and understand this. Dolores has said many, many times, and she's been very sharp on it, which is this. Satan telegraphs what he's going to do through the movies and television before he does it. And in this movie, they were able to chip this man, who was a pedophile, and they were able, by computer control, to send signals to that man to keep him from molesting or murdering a young child. Something similar to that. Now, this movie also, I didn't have it quite right, but they were able to read his thoughts somehow electronically. Now, they are programming human thoughts now to get thought patterns and from where in the brain different thoughts come from for the very purpose of control. So if you don't believe me, go online, do Google search, mind control. And I think you'll find, hey, what I'm saying here is right on, but it's very mild compared to what they are planning and they are doing. Now let's come to Revelation 14 and verse 6. Now here is the three angels' message. Now these three angel messages have to come right when, just before the mark of the beast is implemented. Even though it's after Revelation 13. The reason is because you can't put everything together in one place. The movie How the West Was Won is a good example of showing different narrations, which actually took place simultaneously, but you couldn't show all of them occurring simultaneously. So you showed one up to a certain point, and then you went back in time and picked up another situation and brought that forward to the same point. And then there was another one, other characters, and you would go back and you would where they began and come up to this certain point in time. And the certain point in time was where they all got together to go westward when they met in this certain place. Anyway, wherever the launch-off spot was to go westward in the early part of conquering the West. So likewise, we have it here. We have, first of all, Revelation 13, the first part, we have the governmental system. The second part, we have the religious system. First part of Revelation 14, we have the second 144,000, which shows the blessing for being faithful to God continually, because that's what a virgin is depicted as. Then we come down here to Revelation 6, and so we go back in time to just before the mark of the beast is implemented with verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. Now, why have angels do this? Because God is going to begin revealing himself in supernatural ways. See, if you have a false prophet able to call fire down from heaven, and you have a beast who proclaims himself to be God, now are they going to listen to any man to stand up and say, this is from the devil? Well, no. What would be a greater witness to men? An angel flying around in heaven proclaiming these things. And it's not going to be that you hear it on the radio, because you could never get it on the radio because it's totally controlled, or on television, or on a cell phone, or on the internet. Verse 6, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. So when they fight against Christ, they're going to have many, many warnings in addition to what we talked about with the two witnesses, right? Yes. Saying with a loud voice, fear God instead of the beast, give glory to him instead of the image, because the hour, the time of his judgment has come. Your last chance to repent. Worship him instead of the image of the beast and the beast and Satan, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. Now verse 8, another angel followed, saying, the great city Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Now, this is a prophetic perfect. When this is said, it hasn't yet fallen. But because God has decreed it, it is as good as already done. Because of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, which she has given all nations to drink. And a third angel followed him with a loud voice, saying, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark in his forehead or in his hand, he shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed undiluted in the cup of his wrath, which we covered on trumpets. And he shall be tormented in fire and brimstone in the sight of the holy angels and the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends into the ages of eternity. Now, how do we understand this? Well, when anything gets up out of the atmosphere of the earth, it just keeps going out into outer space. That's why the earth is unique. Things can be recycled here. But even if it gets out of the atmosphere, even smoke, what does it do? It keeps going and going and going and going. And there's something greater than the ever-ready bunny battery, which is, or are, the satellites that the Americans have sent out to explore the solar system and have gone way, way, way out there into the universe, and they still get radio signals back from it. So when you look at that, you think, oh, no, it's their smoke that goes up. They're not tormented forever, because if you're thrown into fire and brimstone, you what? You burn up and you become what? Smoke. And smoke rises. And it will rise out of the atmosphere into the universe. And until such time that God cleans up the universe, which when he makes the new heavens and new earth, he will. Let's go to the next track, please.